and welcome to the Geek Night In, episode 8. We've got a special episode this week because we're going to try out something that might be brilliant and it might turn out terrible. We don't know yet, so we're going to find out. We're doing the first part of a D&D campaign. We've got a special guest with us this week. Helen, do you want to introduce yourself?
Okay, hi. I'm Helen. I'm going to be DMing this adventure. And I've never been on a podcast before, so be nice.
That's fine. The best podcast to come off to.
You chose the one where everyone's actually going to be nice to you, so hooray. we've got Kate's here this week, Gemma, Tilly, and me, Laura. So, hello. And we're going to do a D&D campaign in a minute. So we've all created our characters before starting. Would it be a good idea for us to all sort of run through our characters a little bit before we start, just so everyone knows?
I've kind of built in a little bit into the beginning of the game where you can describe yourself.
Okay, well, that's fine. Maybe we should just jump into this campaign. I shouldn't be trying to, you know, take control of the DMing activities.
All right.
We have someone that knows what they're doing.
I try.
Okay.
Are we ready to go then?
Yeah, I'm very excited about this.
Should we have wait? Should we have some Crystal May style theme music first? Okay, now I'm ready.
All right. So, welcome to the city of Eunice, which is the place where you all live. It is an independent city-state in a kind of Mediterranean-style fantasy land. And you all, adventurers, have been living in the house of a man who you know as Master Jean. And when you were all in your mid-teens, he came to the places where you live and offered you an apprenticeship in his house to become adventurers. And for whatever reason, you have taken him up on this. So now it is several years later, and he and his associates have been training you in your various skills. And last night, he brought you some exciting news. He says that your life of apprenticing in his house and, basically doing the medieval apprentice thing of running his household and so on is about to be over. And if you can surpass this one last test he is going to set you tomorrow, then it's time for you to become journeyman adventurers and go out into the big wide world to hone your skills some more. So it is now the next morning, and you're all about to come down to breakfast and find out what he has planned for you to prove all you've learned over the last few years. So you're all coming out of your sleeping quarters and filing into the dining hall. And, as you file in, why don't you each describe your character, what they look like, what kind of cool gear they're carrying, and, tell us a little bit about them.
I'll start then. I'm Farrell. I'm a female half-elf sorcerer who's an elementalist. I specialize in air elemental skills. And let's have a look at what equipment I have. I have an adventurer's kit, which is fairly standard thing. I have a staff implement, an orb implement, some sun rods, a spell book, some cloth armor, and a key focus. And these are the things I have with me, and I do magic and things.
Cool. What do you look like?
Oh, that's probably a good place to start. Blonde hair, sort of shoulder length, a bit of a side fringe.
Damn fine, that's what you look like.
I look fine. Basically, I look
second
damn
that.
Fine. Okay, that's all the description you need. I look damn fine. That's how I look.
It's an acceptable description.
Who's next?
I'll dive in then. I am Dox. I am an unaligned female changeling rogue. I have the ability to take on other humanoid forms, which is not something I particularly enjoy doing, but it's part of the nature of who I am. I dress in black. quite dark hair as well. At the moment, I'm wearing quite loose clothing. I tend to favour loose and slightly elegant garbs, but basically the sort of thing I could run away in. I favour crossbows. I like to keep my distance away from any sort of potential danger. And I'm currently carrying an adventure's kit, of course. Tools of my trade, so thieves' tool, listening cone. Also travel papers. I find they often come in handy. And a bottle of wine, because.
Yeah. I like your style already. We are going to get on very well.
Alright, who's next?
Tilly can go next.
Oh, thanks, Kate. Yeah.
That's okay.
Don't you mean Coral and Kaelna?
Yeah, what the hell is my name? I'm trying to work out how to pronounce it, so Tilly, quick, go first.
I'm just opening my character sheet because I'm really stupid and didn't do that earlier. Okay, I'm Corin, and I am a female dragonborn fighter. I worship Caladurin Smoothhand.
I think that's my name.
No. I don't worship you.
Well, more for you.
At the moment, I fight with a Morningstar, but I'm aiming to get a big-ass axe at some point, so I can just... Because I have a lot of strength bonuses. I've been dishonored at some point. It's a secret as to what exactly happened, but honor is a very important thing to me, and it's very important that I learn to get my honor back.
Honor!
Oh, also, I can breathe acid.
Oh, that's always helpful.
You could have mentioned that one at the beginning.
Yeah. You don't need much of a character description. It's, I'm that person in the group that can spit acid.
Yeah.
That's quite a good way to get respect.
That massive dragon who can spit acid.
That's a good way to get respect in the group.
Me. That's the one. Yeah, that's it. I breathe... No, I took poison, not acid. I can breathe poison, but that's close enough.
Yeah, also good.
It's still a thing that you don't want breathed on you.
Yeah, definitely.
And we have one last person whose name and how to pronounce it is in the Roll20 chat, yeah, if they Caledonian, need to look.
It's Caledonian Thistle. That's my name. I'm an unaligned female sun elf, Eladrin Ardent. I don't know what it means. I don't even know what sun means, for goodness sake. I'm a redhead. I don't seem to have any eyes, but I have blonde hair and armor, and that's pretty much all I need. There are other
the thing about Eladrin is they're high elves and they have creepy pupil-less eyes, so you never know where they're looking.
All the time. Wow. I have a great sword. And some religion. I don't really understand what I need to say.
Can I just say from the start, I'm really jealous that you're a race that has no pupils, because that would mean I would never have to make eye contact because nobody would know.
I know, right? Well, Eladrin are the best like that.
Apparently, a face step is an encounter power. So I don't really know, like, do I dance? I am proficient with a longsword. I have, like, magical powers.
I think your deal is that you can make people either better at what they do or worse at what they do with your mind.
Oh, I would abuse that in real life. Also, apparently, I can meditate for 4 hours instead of sleep. This is amazing!
Yep, you never sleep.
I wish I could do that. Just 4 hours of peaceful meditation and, oh, I'm rested.
Yeah, so I am Caledonian Thistle. That's me.
I feel like I haven't aspired enough, given that I've got a goth with wine. I'd much rather meditate for 4 hours.
Oh, no, you wouldn't believe me.
I've gone with a person that's basically, hey, I just, you know, I want everything to be in harmony and we're going to make everything work out and everything's going to be perfect. I'm not going to take no for an answer. Everything's going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect.
And then, you know, if things don't turn out perfect, I'll just smash it with my Morningstar until it is.
Or breathe poison on it.
Or breathe poison on it. Yeah, that too.
Hooray.
Well, this, incredibly capable and disciplined troop of adventurers has turned up for breakfast.
What's for breakfast?
Breakfast is, Master Jean, your apprentice master, is quite strict about healthy eating. so I'm afraid to say that breakfast is a healthy gruel.
Oh.
Flavoured with some olive oil and watered wine.
That's no good for dragons.
Aww.
Maybe you get special dragon supplements.
Excellent. Little tiny bit of meat. That'd be great.
Alright, well, you're all probably pretty excited about this because you've spent most of kind of your time apprenticing in this hall, you know, training in the courtyard.
I'm currently dancing back and forth in the courtyard. I'm that excited.
You are dancing back and forth in the courtyard.
I'm very excited.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're in a pretty bustling, prosperous town, but you don't tend to have been very encouraged to go out into the town and participate in the town life because it's all been very strict training. So, you guys all have your breakfast, and then as you're all kind of finishing up, Master Jean comes out from the outside and sits down at the head of the table, kind of gives you all a look. And says, young adventurers, in these halls I have tried to teach you everything I can teach you, but as you know, at some point you will have to go out into the world, and this is one last test that I have decided to let you prove yourself in to begin your adventuring life. And as I have tried to teach you, adventuring is all about helping people, and there's one such person in this town who requires your help right now, and you will find him at the door of this hall. And then he takes out of his pocket four potions, sets one in front of each of you, and then he, without another word, he retires into his quarters and leaves you.
Bye. Before you go, are these all identical potions? Are these all the same potion?
Yeah, they're all the same.
Okay, that's fine. I thought I should check with you, Master, before you leave.
Yes. So he leaves, and you guys look at the potions, and you can identify pretty easily that they are all healing potions.
Okay. That's always a good thing to have.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't know what that tells you about how dangerous your master thinks this will be, but he's given you a little parting present of a healing potion each.
Bye. I made the point of picking one up and immediately putting it in my pack.
I'm going to do the same because I have a nice backpack that I'm just going to go put everything in my backpack.
Mm. Oh, I have a little like waist pouch. I'm going to put it in there.
I have a clutch bag.
That's fine. Put it in your clutch bag. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
It's not a very big potion, so it should fit.
It's quite a big clutch bag.
Is this the Mary Poppins clutch bag?
No, it's actually a suitcase, but I'm trying to be trendy.
Okay. Okay, let's go find the person. Hello, person that has something, needs some help. What do you need? How can we help you?
Okay, so you make your way out to the front of the hall, and standing in front of you is a half-elf, and it looks like they're actually a half Eladrin. So, what's happened?
To my half elf person.
Oh, right.
I feel we are interested.
Yeah. So, he's actually, a half Eladrin. So he's got, he's not got the kind of weird, wispy, spindly build of an Eladrin. He's got a kind of human build. He's got dark skin, but, he does have the creepy pupilless eyes going on. So he's definitely got some Eladrin heritage going on there. And he's pretty obviously standing like in front of the hall. So he greets you and he says his name is Tin. And he tells you that, he's got a little job that he could use your help with, and beckons you to follow him through the town.
Okay, let's go follow. Where are you going?
Yeah, so he kind of walks off at a leisurely pace, and to in response to your question, where are we going? He says, well, I've recently moved into town, and I purchased a house on the edge of town, and Freya's got a little bit of an infestation, and your master offered me to let you guys deal with it.
What's it an infestation of?
Well, looks like a couple of fire beetles. Maybe something else, I don't know. I didn't want to go too far in there. It could be a bit delicate in a
warehouse. We can deal with that.
You can just eat them, Corin. Just go in there with your dragon face and...
Or I could just poison them, because, you know, just because I'm a dragon doesn't mean I eat everything.
Yes,
well, that is racist.
You've only had gruel this morning. I'm pretty sure that meat would be a good thing for you.
What, meat of beetles? Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Well, it's better than gruel.
Is the main focus of this campaign the nutritional habits of dragons?
Yes.
Awesome. Seems to be. Okay. Okay, so, you all kind of, reach a house at the edge of town. As you've been walking, you've kind of been passing from the fairly kind of rich, prosperous area where you live into a more, a little bit dilapidated part of town, although it's not too bad because, you know, the whole town tends to be pretty prosperous. And, you end up in front of this house, and, Tin hands you the key to the door, and kind of steps back and says, I'm sure you guys can deal with this. Have fun.
Okay, so who's going in first, then?
Me, I want to go first.
Well, do you want to go in first?
Oh, yeah.
So, yep.
So, blip.
So, yeah, so you kind of slink into the door, in the doorway, check out the nearest beetle, find, like, the crack in its armor plating, to get the best hit in that you possibly can.
Okie dokie. So, that gives me a +3 power bonus to the attack roll, and the enemy takes 1d6 extra damage if the attack hits. So, that's always worth doing.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, and... I mean, I'm kind of acting solo here, but I'm assuming we all agree that I should attack this thing.
Yes, you should.
Yes, okay.
Kill them!
Yes, so, ranged basic attack, then. I have a Thundering Hand crossbow. And at this point, I'm in thorough D&D jargon, so let's see. It's +7 versus AC...
So you roll a d20, add 7. You also add your bonus that you get.
Okay, so d20 +7 +3. Get 18.
Yep, that definitely beats the beetle's AC. So your crossbow bolt smashes into a chunk of its armor, and now you have to roll the damage.
Okay, so that's 1d6 +7. And with backstab, that's 1d6 extra. So, okay. d6 +7. This will become fluent. Eventually.
We'll get there eventually.
So actually that's 2d6 +7, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and I do 9 damage. My 2d6s came up as 1s, disappointingly.
Has this beetle exploded yet? That's the important question.
The beetle has not exploded, but it is thoroughly surprised at this crossbow bolt which has suddenly come out of nowhere at it.
Surprised is not good. Surprised means that it's probably going to start doing things, which is... I don't like when things do things.
Surprise, goth shot you.
Hey.
And then I have, let's see, I'm just looking over my minor actions. I don't believe I have any that are worthwhile. Yep, I believe that is me done.
Alright, so now it's Corin's turn.
Right, so since I'm directly in front of it already, can I breathe poison all over it?
You can indeed. What is the range on your poison breath?
Hold on, let me just... where is it?
Oh no!
I don't think it says. Well, it should say, but I don't think I'm looking at the right bit.
Your range is whatever the hell you want it to be.
All of them.
Let me see if I can Ah, there we go. Dragon breath. Yes, it is a close blast 3.
Right.
So that means it's basically like a 3x3 square out from you. So yes, you definitely have the beetle in your range.
Excellent. Okay. So I need to roll a d20?
Yep, a d20 plus 7.
Okay. 22.
Nice. And that is versus reflex. So yep, you hit the beetle with your dragon breath.
Excellent.
1d6 plus 2 damage on that.
Okay. 4.
Alright, 4 damage on the beetle. Cool. Started to look a little bit the worse for wear.
Excellent. Well, I am going to go for a basic attack and try and smash it with my Morningstar.
Sweet.
Okay. 27.
Yep, that hits.
Right in the face.
Damage, actually. Because your Morningstar is pretty hefty.
Yes. D10.
Smashes in the face.
Plus 5. 10.
Alright. So you, from your position in front of the beetle, you breathe a glob of acid onto its face, followed up quickly by your morning star. And after that, there's some definite goop starting to seep in between the chinks of its armor, and the beetle is now bloodied.
Excellent. Hooray,
smush beetles.
Corrin kicks ass. So it's still alive, but it's weak. Nah, weakened now.
Is that my turn over, or do I still have it?
You have a move, if you want to move away at all.
Yeah, I was going to move back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Also worth noting is your ability, your combat challenge ability, means whatever creature you attack, you mark. So basically, you have now monopolized this beetle's attention so much that if it tries to attack anyone else, it'll get a -2 because it's so focused on you.
Wow. Excellent. Okay.
Basically, you are now just the target of any aggression it has. It's just like, okay, I'm going to take you down, dragon beast.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's also, okay. I have the highest hit point.
If it's next to you and it tries to attack someone else, you get to take a swipe at it as well.
Wonderful.
So you're being nice and protective of your friends.
So excited. Right, go on, Beetle. Right, take cool. Your turn.
Well, it's Kaylin's turn now.
I seem to have a great sword, but then I'm looking at my attacks, and it's basically like, you attack your foe with clarity of mind. If I have a sword, I'm not going to attack someone with clarity of mind. I'm going to attack them with my great big sword.
Well, see, what's happening is that, I think what's happening is that you're kind of channeling your mental powers through your sword.
Okay, so
you're
so
both stabbing them and causing them emotional pain at the same time.
So when they say clarity of mind, it's a metaphor for a big pointy sword.
Pretty much, yeah.
A big pointy emotional sword.
Oh, okay. Okay, what do I do?
Well, first of all, you probably want to walk into the room.
Oh, okay, where am I? Oh, I'm just chilling outside, like having a cigarette or something. So I'm in.
You get to move 5 squares.
Oh, where was I?
You've done 2. You were up here.
I'm just in the room. I'll just stay here.
Yeah, fine. It's probably about 5 squares.
That's fine.
I have moved some squares. Okay, I'll do that.
What you can do, though, is you can try and do a nature check to find out some more info about these beetles.
Yeah, do I just type, okay.
So, what you would do then is you would roll a d20 and you add 2 for your nature knowledge.
I got 22.
Wow, so you got, also you rolled a natural 20. So, you basically now know everything there is to know.
Yeah, I do actually. They're like best friends now. Be nice with beetles. I take back my ignorance. Beetle 1, come with me.
Well, alright, so what you know about these beetles is that...
Misunderstood.
They can spit fire. Oh, okay. That's a thing that you know about them. And they spit fire from some fire-creating glands on their abdomens.
Is that the scientific term?
Yes. Fire-creating glands. These glands stay, they emit light for 1 or 2 hours after the beetle's death. So they can be used as impromptu torches at times.
Okay.
Okay.
You also know that they can be slow to react, so their weakest defense is their reflex defense. So they're not the brightest creatures. If something big is coming at them, they're not very good at getting out of the way quick.
All right, these are all useful things to know. Fantastic. Right.
It is now, then, the beetle's turn.
I just want to apologise to everyone. All the beetles get a turn before I do, so I'm just going to be chilling outside here. Don't worry about the giant beetles that are trying to kill you and that we now know can breathe fire. I'm sure you can all handle those. I'm just going to stay out here for a minute. I'll see you all later.
Thanks, Farrell. You're the best.
I am the best.
I'm so glad we brought you.
Well, I'm really strong. I just don't feel like coming in yet, okay?
Sure, okay.
I'll come in a bit.
Well, Beetle 1, the beetle sitting on the table here, turns around, facing its fire spittoons, fire glands in your direction, and fires a spray of fire at Corin and Kaylina. And yeah, you're both in its range.
Oh, no.
I only wanted to be your friend.
The beetle rolls a natural 20.
Oh, balls.
Which means that it does its maximum damage against you guys.
So you're going to get murdered by fire.
This would be a great time for you to drop in, Farrell, you know, whenever. Just take your time there.
I'd let the other beetles attack first.
You take a face full of fiery beetle juice.
Oh.
And but each of you takes 19 damage.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Your hair is most thoroughly singed off.
Oh, my beautiful hair.
It's your first mission trying to not be an apprentice anymore and you're already bald. Well done.
These things happen.
So, that was 19 damage that we took.
Yeah.
Well, at least I'm bloodied now.
Green.
That's fine. I'm just going to stay out here with my full health.
You are so helpful.
Well, I'll come in a minute, okay?
Once the fire's burned itself off my face.
Alright, now beetle number 2, which is the one that has been kind of rooting around in the bedroll, covering itself in straw, notices that something is happening to its broodmate, and kind of starts crawling towards you guys.
It's not even moving realistically, but I hate the way it moves.
Wow.
And third beetle also moves a bit closer.
Beetle
2 just cleared half the room facing us.
These are not good things that are happening.
Yeah, any time, Farrell. Whenever's convenient.
I'll come in a minute, okay? I promise.
There's a fourth beetle, which, by the way, looks a bit different from these other beetles. So beetles 1 through 3, the ones kind of in the center of the room, are, which you know you guys can see in the pictures, but I guess I should describe them for the audience at home. they are, your kind of big, black, shiny beetles. They're about a meter and a half long, and as you might imagine, they have kind of pulsating, red glowing abdomens, which, in the case of Beetle 1, we've seen disgorge fire onto anyone who bothers these guys. And sitting in the stairwell in the corner, behind some boxes, is a large golden beetle who has yet to move.
I've been playing too much Animal Crossing. I want to catch it.
I'm thinking that attacking these things was not the smartest thing we ever did while I wasn't in the room to help.
Yeah, well, I didn't even check.
Pharrell, it is now your turn, so you can come
in to help. I can come into the room and help.
Yeah, get the fuck in here, please.
Did we learn anything about this beetle's weaknesses when we were learning about the beetle?
Haagen-Dazs.
Haagen-Dazs.
It's weak to Haagen-Dazs.
It has a low reflex.
The Buffy season finale.
Okay, right, so what should I be looking through? I'm looking through my standard actions.
Elemental bolt targets reflex.
Elemental bolt. Oh yeah, attack, yeah, reflex. Right, so I'm thank you for your help there, DM. I'm going to hurl a spear of elemental energy at the beetle.
Alright, Farrell is hurling her wind at the fire beetle.
I am so helpful, aren't I? 21.
Yep, you... The beetle fails to get out of the way of your bolt.
My bolt of wind.
Your bolt of wind.
Threatening so wind.
Now you roll your damage, which is 1d12 plus 3.
That's what I'm looking at.
Oh, sorry, it's actually 1d12 plus 6.
Roll.
Or is that 6 or 5? I can't see.
That's what I was looking at, is I think it's 1d12 plus 5.
Alright, 1d12
plus 5. Roll. Nice, d12. Plus 5. 7.
Alright. The beetle is not dead yet.
Oh my god, just stand on it.
It's definitely kind of twitching and on it, you know, on its last legs.
And a cat.
Literally, you did blow off two of its legs, so it's literally on its last remaining legs.
My minor action doesn't do very much. I really should have done that earlier, shouldn't I?
Well, your minor action can help.
But I can help other people. Who have we got coming up next?
Docs is coming next.
Docs. Mm. Okay. Actually, I'm going to assume that Docs can finish off this beetle by themselves. So I'm going to use my free action, Knack for Success, to give a +4 power bonus to Corin on their next skill check.
Thank you.
Using skills, you know, like you can use your athletics to jump on a table, that kind of thing.
Oh.
You can also use it to benefit the attack, though.
Yes. Either that, or I could give you a +2 power bonus to your next attack roll.
I'll take the +4.
You'll take the plus four to your skill check. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. So I'm gonna give that to you for your next turn, and I will end my turn.
All right. So Docs, you're up.
Okie dokie. I just wanted to check a rule, actually. Sure. Backstab is an encounter-based thing, so I just wanted to check, can I use it multiple times, or is it once per encounter?
So, yeah, that's once per encounter. So you've used it up for this fight. So next fight, right, You'll be able to use it again.
Now, I'm just going to say this now, okay. Docs, you'd better kill this thing. Because otherwise it's going to take all four of us in one attack. It's just going to kill us all, so... I know that's stupid of me to say, seeing as I was the one that waited outside and, you know, avoided the fire, but please kill it.
Okay, I'm just checking what will do the most damage, actually. I believe that is still my ranged basic attack, so I think I should probably just go ahead and do that.
If you would like, you could do your sneaks trick first. Which is basically like you kind of sneak around and hide yourself, which means you would get combat advantage against the beetles because they wouldn't be able to see you.
Oh, I see.
Get a little extra on your roll.
Okay, thank you. I will definitely go ahead and do that. It reduces my speed. Well, I can move up to my speed -2, so it reduces me to moving 4. But that does still mean I can get out of the way. So I think I'm going to do that.
So you can kind of sneak behind the door or by that crate or something.
Yeah, I was thinking of hiding behind one of my other party members. but I'll assume that I can't shoot through characters. yeah.
Well, if you know, if there's just a catch in the way, we'll just say, you know, you shouted them to duck just before you fire, kind of thing.
We'll go with that then. Okay, so I'm going to move. Actually, I'm just going to move out of the way. So I'll go. Right, so I've moved the other side of the door next to a crate, and I'm going to stick around there for a bit.
Alright, so what you would want to do now is you want to roll your stealth. So that's a d20 plus 11.
I got 26.
Alright, so you are now hidden, and if the beetles want to see you, if I remember correctly, they have to roll better than a 26 on perception. Hmm. And they are beetles, so, you know, they're not the most perceptive things.
Awesome.
In the world.
Okay, well, now that I'm hidden, I should definitely go ahead and try to shoot something.
Yeah.
Presumably I have to turn as part of my move as well.
It's the kind of facing in directions is free, so it doesn't like take you a move action to turn around or anything.
Okay, cool. Right then. So, my Thundering Hand crossbow plus one was... I've already managed to forget how the went through the attack process.
It's a
d20
plus 7. D20
plus
7,
thank you. I got 25.
Yeah, you hit the beetle.
Damage 12.
Mm-hmm. Alright, the beetle is dead.
Yes.
So, your crossbow bolt... kind of slams into its side and just takes, you know, the last little amount of fight out of it. And it twitches and rolls onto its back in the universal dead beetle position. So you've taken out one of the beetles.
Good.
Okay, I don't have any useful minor actions to do, so I think, again, that is my turn up.
All right.
I'm just going to say, I just realised my mic's been on mute for a while. I keep trying to chime in and being annoyed no one's listening to me. The theme of this podcast, everyone.
It's the theme of every podcast.
The sorcerer is standing in the corner muttering to herself.
Right, is it my turn?
Yes, time to dragonborn it up.
Okay, I would like to use a healing surge. That would be great.
Okay, the best thing to do, probably, because using a healing surge is a standard action.
Right.
But what you can do is you can do your normal turn and then use your action point, which gives you another standard action. Unless you would like to use save that for later when you think you will need another.
Sorry, my action point gives me another action.
Yeah, it's like something you can use once per encounter. To give you one extra action, which you can use to heal yourself, for example.
Right.
So the question is, do you want to use it now, or do you want to save it for that terrifying gold beetle? We don't know what it does at the end.
I'm going to use it now.
Alright. What you can also do is you can also use a minor action to drink your potion, which will give you 10 hit points back.
Oh, that I'll do that. I'll use the action point later.
Cool. So, drink your potion, and put a plus 10 into your little hit point box.
Excellent, okay.
And the beetle that was on the table in front of you is dead. So, what would you like to do?
How far can I move? Is it six steps?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, you can move 6 squares.
Right. One.
And diagonal squares count as one, so...
Okay, so 1, 2, 3. Oh, that's too close. 4. There, I'll go here.
Alright.
Maybe. What's my poison thing? That's a minor action, apparently, so can I do that again, or?
Your dragon breath is an encounter attack, unfortunately, so you can't use it again in this battle.
Ah, oh, that's sad. Okay, I'll go with the time-honored tradition of bashing it with a Morningstar.
Sounds good. You'll have to move 1 square closer to do that. So you have to be touching it.
Mm,
you're gonna have to touch the beetle to hit it with your Morningstar.
Ew. Okay, I'm gonna smash it. 24.
That's versus AC, isn't it? Yeah, that hits. You hit the beetle in the face.
Excellent.
How much damage does the beetle take?
10.
Alright, the beetle takes 10 damage. The beetle is annoyed at you.
As it should be.
It's not happy with the morning star that has just come down on its head.
At this point, I'm feeling very glad that I'm in stealth.
I'm feeling very glad that I seem to keep staying very far away from encounters.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm in stealth and behind Corin, so I'm well safe.
That's alright. I've still got more hit points than all of you, so...
Yeah. Well, I've got more remaining. I've got, like, 28.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, good for me. So
why did you volunteer me to go in first if you had the most hit points?
Well, you had the most hit points and then you got hit with fire.
Alright.
Is that the end of my turn or can I, like, run away?
You can only run away if you want to use your action point to do that.
That's fine. Stay there. I will come and save you after all the beetles have attacked.
Yep, thanks. That's great.
Alright.
Best.
Just a little late to the party, but I'll come save you after you've been attacked.
Thanks.
Okay, Kaylina.
Yes.
How is things going for you?
Well, I've just been stood here like, oh, hey, well done, guys. You're doing really well.
Right.
What would you like to do?
How many spaces am I allowed to move?
You can move 5 spaces.
I want to jump on the table.
You can do that as well. You will have to do an acrobatics or athletics check.
Can't I just accidentally fall onto the table?
That only works in animes.
Okay, how do I do that? Because I really want to jump on this table.
So, if I'm looking at this correctly, your acrobatics and athletics are both -1.
I want to jump on the table.
You roll a d20 -1 and hope that you beat an 8. If you
cool,
beat an
yeah.
8, check me you jump drunk. On the table.
D20 -1. I got 12!
Hey! You jump onto the table and manage to land securely, even though the table is covered in beetle guts.
Yeah, screw you.
Glowing beetle guts.
Woo! Okay, I'm on the table. Do I need to do anything else?
It would be really helpful if you could attack one of the other beetles. That would be great.
Oh, you guys, you're work, work, work.
Well, there are giant beetles trying to murder us with fire, okay?
You're trying to murder me.
Also,
it's not one thing, it's the other.
It might be worth you having a potion or something this turn, because your health is not looking great, and you should
probably... Well, I have a thing. Oh, can I do this? Your foe... Fall there. Your foe falls through a hole in space and appears some distance away from you.
What is that?
The wormhole plunge.
That is, first of all, that's a melee attack, so you have to be next to something. You hit it with your sword and then it falls through a hole in space. And also there's your daily power, so you can do that once a day.
Oh, okay. Do we have to do this for more than one day? How long is this podcast going to be?
One in-game day.
Oh, okay. Pretend days. Oh, can I teleport?
You can do your... you've done one movement action. You can't do your face step, but that'll eat up your standard action.
Yeah, cool. No, I don't like you guys. I'm going to go outside again. I'm going to teleport outside.
Well, I know who's going to get the loot dividends.
Oh, man. Do you really want me to kill the beetle?
Yes,
oh,
please.
It's so selfish.
Well, we don't want to be murdered, okay? Is that
okay,
selfish?
The luck blade greatsword +1.
That is your sword.
Yeah, can I do that?
You can hit something with your sword if you're next to it.
Oh, why am I never next to it? I'm always so far away.
Because you used up your move jumping on a table.
Valid turn, I think. What about the ranged basic attack?
Do that. That's what I've been using.
You can do that. You don't have a ranged weapon, so that would basically be like you pick up a bit of the beetle and chuck it at another beetle.
I have a feeling this is going to work.
Which beetle are you throwing it at? The one that Corinne's near, or the other beetle?
Please throw it at beetle number 3. That'd be really helpful.
Through number 3. Okay. What do I need? What do I need out of this? What do I need? I want there to be tension.
You need to hit its AC, which I'm not supposed to tell you, but it is 13.
I got 4.
Oh, fucking hell.
you pick up a bit of beetle. You pick up one of the limbs that your comrade's burst of wind knocked off it.
I picked up the biggest one I could find.
Fling it at the beetle, it dramatically spins in space and completely bounces off the beetle's chitinous armor.
Well, I tried. Can I teleport now?
You have used up any of your actions that you could use to teleport, so we have to wait until next turn.
I have a feeling this is going to work. Throws beetle limb.
You can't say I didn't try.
You tried. You also tried to run away and teleport and abandon us all.
Yes, and then when I realised that wouldn't work, I tried to help.
With a beetle leg.
The ends justify the means.
Okay, okay.
I'm satisfied with your attempt to help. Thank you, Kaylin.
Yay!
Well, a minor action left, so it may be advisable to down that health potion.
Oh, me? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll save myself.
I love that laugh.
I down the health potion. Tastes like peaches.
Alright, you regain 10 hit points, so put a plus 10 into your hit point box.
Plus 10. I have 14 hit points.
Hooray!
Alright, so Beetle 1 is dead, so it doesn't get a turn. Beetle 2. Watches the thrown limb kind of float through the air in front of it, bounce off its friend there, and turns towards the source of the thrown limb, moves up to the table, and turns around.
Oh no!
It's fire. It's fire spitting.
Fiery farts.
Yep. And
you can't escape because you're trapped up on a table now.
I will die as I lived in fear and covered in beetle guts.
That's a 14. So it is a 14 at or above your reflex. What is your reflex score?
Hang on. 10. Oh, I'm dead.
You are hit by a fiery spray.
Oh, good lord.
And you take...
Oh, the good ones that always die first. None! Woo! Run away!
You take 10 damage.
So the 10 I got, I then... Oh, well, that was a total waste of a healing potion.
It's not a waste of a healing potion, because you'd have died if you didn't drink it.
Oh, Miss Logic over there. Alright, so minus 10.
Yeah, minus 10, I'm afraid.
Okay, it's okay. Mm.
Yeah, those eyebrows of yours that had kind of started growing back when you drank that potion, they're gone again.
Oh, damn it!
Are you unconscious in that case?
No, I'm still living, yelling at you all from the table.
You know I'm going to run in a minute and save the day for everyone, so it's fine. Just hang on a minute till I can get over there.
You're like America in the Second World War. Going to wait till it's nearly over and then be like, oh, I won!
I distinctly remember when France was rolling around in beetle guts.
Beetle number 3 joins the fire-spitting party.
Oh no! No!
I've already forgotten what the plus is for this. Plus 4. Okay, it's a 7 against your reflex, Corin.
I have 10.
Alright, so you deftly jump aside. But and a spout of fire does not hit you. Let me just check something. Luckily, it also doesn't set anything on fire.
Excellent.
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, good. We're all dead, but at least we didn't commit arson.
The weird golden beetle begins to crawl out of its hiding place.
Oh, no.
Attracted by the smell of dead beetle guts.
We need to kill these other two beetles quickly so we can focus on this one.
I don't know, I'm kind of enjoying the chaos.
Okay, so
well, will you be enjoying it when you're dead?
Well, I'm running around in beetle guards. I cannot go any lower.
Alright, it's time for the cavalry to come in.
Time for me to save everyone. How many can I move again? What's my speed?
I'm on the table, it's where all the good things happen.
1, 2, 3, I'm in a good position where I can hit both of those beetles. What skills do I want to use? I have a free action, Elemental Escalation, which means that I can make one additional creature a target of my triggering attack.
Yeah, so if you see the trigger is you use an at-will power.
Yeah.
So basically, you can use an at-will power and and target two creatures instead of just one.
Okay, so that's what I'm looking at, is whether I can use my Howling Zephyr on both of the beetles.
And each target hit by the attack takes 1d10 extra damage.
Yes.
And you fly up to half your speed as a free action, so...
Oh, I like this!
You're going, like, completely hurricane.
I'm just destroying everything. Okay, right, so...
Am I within range of you?
I'm assuming this is only the things I'm targeting, not Corinne.
Yes. Again, it's two creatures of your choice.
Are you basically putting Elsa in this? This is amazing.
Basically, yes. I'm just going to destroy everything, but instead of snow, it's wind. So, I'm using my Elemental Escalation.
Mm-hmm.
And then using that for Howling Zephyr.
Cool.
So, I'm going to attack Beetle 3 first.
Thank you.
Go for it.
So, what do I need to roll for this?
So, on Howling Zephyr, we've got a d20 plus 3.
Roll d20 plus 3. 21.
Yep, that hits beetle number 3. And now you roll again for beetle number 2.
And beetle number 2 again is...
Yep, same roll.
Roll d20 plus 3. Oh. I can't spell roll. 4.
Well, unfortunately, you miss. Beetle number 2.
A natural 1.
That's fine, as long as I'm hitting Beetle 3. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's going to sacrifice herself to save Corin.
Do I need to roll again now for the damage to Beetle 3?
You roll
3?
Your damage. So it's a 1d8 plus 6.
And then is plus that plus 10?
1d10.
Plus 1d10. Mm-hmm. See, there's me thinking it was plus 10. I was like, oh, that's easy. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 1d10. Right. 15.
That is nice. Beetle number 3 starts leaking gross beetle guts all over the floor. It is now bloodied.
Yay.
And you also get to fly up to half your speed as a free action, if you wish.
Okay, so that's up to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I'm thinking is, okay, 1, 2, 3... I'm going to move so that I'm still in range of attacking Beetle 3, but I'm a bit further away from Beetle 2.
Sounds good. Dox, it is your turn.
Okay, I'm going to try a new move action. I'm going to try unbalancing trick.
Uh-huh.
I can shift up to 2 squares, which brings me in range of Beetle 3.
Mm-hmm.
And if I hit it with a basic melee attack, I can knock it prone.
Nice.
Ooh.
Go for it.
So I shall do that. So, like... Then you can focus on Beetle 2, and Beetle 3 will be out of the way for a little bit, hopefully. So, I don't appear to need to roll anything for that, so I'll just go ahead and move up to it. I'm still in stealth, do I need to re-roll for that at all, or
is it still considered hidden? Yes, I believe... after you move, I believe you're still hidden, but after you attack, you'll have to re-roll.
Okie dokie. Right, so I shall do the move action. And I'm up against Beetle 3 now. So my basic melee attack, that is a d20 plus 7 again, is it? Got a 20. I'm liking my rolls.
Alright, that hits.
Okay, and the damage appears to be 1d4 plus 6. I do 8 damage.
Nice. Okay, 8 damage. Well, it doesn't matter if he falls prone or not, because that kills him.
Hooray!
Oh, okay.
Yay!
Second killing move, I'm liking this. Okay.
Alright, so...
So it'd be rather handy if I could fade back into stealth, so...
Yeah, so if we do another stealth check...
16.
16 is your current stealth. Alright. Corin. Oh, do you want to... Do you have anything else to do? You don't, do you? Do you have a minor action?
I don't think I do, no.
Right. Okay. Corin.
Okay, I'm gonna move...
In front of you has fallen over dead.
I'm gonna move over... Oh, actually, no, I'm not. I'm gonna walk over it to get to the front of Beetle 2.
Alright.
One, two, three. Okay.
Someone was actually thinking.
Am I too far away from it? Can I hit it?
No, you're adjacent to it, so you can hit it.
Okay, and I'll just bash it over the head again. That's great.
Sweet.
It works.
I love that this is your solution to everything. Just big things hit on head.
Well, I have a plus 8 to my strength, okay? I've not rolled less than a 20 so far.
Okay, I can appreciate that.
23.
Yeah, you hit.
I smash it right in its beetly face.
How much damage does its beetly face receive?
It's 1d6
plus... 1d10 plus 5.
1. Okay. 15! Natural 10. Hi.
Nice.
Is it dead?
It is not dead.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not dead. It's still, it's looking a bit dented, but it's still relatively vigorous. You know, relative to the other beetles in the room, which are all squish.
Alright, and then I still have a minor, minor action left.
Minor action. What you could do if you want is you can, do a nature check and maybe see what you know about the creepy golden beetle coming up behind you.
Oh yeah, that'd be a good one. Let's do that.
You realize the result of the nature check is just going to be, it's damn scary.
It depends on how high I roll.
Yeah, so your nature is 0, so it's just a d20.
Okay. 2.
It's a scary looking golden beetle and it's coming up behind you.
What did I tell you? You know that it's a damn scary gold beetle.
Alright then. See, I'm not so good for the brains. This is why I have to be part of a team.
You are here to smash stuff, not to know words and
things. Yeah, I don't have to think. I just have to smash things.
You're very good with the Morningstar.
Thank you.
Alright.
Alright, that's the end of my turn.
Kaylina. What are we going to do this time?
Kaylina, oh,
you can do your teleport now if you wish.
Hang on a second. Let me examine.
If you fancied, you could get off the table, come over to Beetle 2 and beat it up.
Goodness,
I think you can swipe at it from the table.
Can I kill the beetle?
You can step over to the edge of the table and whack it from up there with your sword.
Like here? Is that okay?
Yeah, well, you'll want to move. Let me just move you, like, over there.
Oh, okay.
So you're actually bouncing on the chair.
Wow. Amazing.
Hitting the beetle.
Freaking quite a heroic pose, then.
Then I'll hit it with my sword.
Sounds good. What attack would you like to do?
There's my luck. Oh god, hang on, it's gone.
There's a focusing strike.
Well, there's a luck. Oh, for goodness sake, it's gone again. Hang on. My computer isn't working. The luck blade greatsword plus 1, weapon level 3, damage 1d10, blah blah blah. That one.
Yeah, that's your weapon. You've got a daily power attached to it, which means if you roll an attack and you miss, you can reroll it.
Awesome! I'll do that one. 17.
And that is versus AC, and that hits. So now,
die!
To see how much damage your Luck Blade Greatsword does, you roll 1d10 plus 6.
I do this with, like, a sweaty brow and, like, really, like, you know, I wish I hadn't almost abandoned my friends. And I
is this your determination to win our favour back?
Shh. And then 15, yay!
Yep. Yay!
Ha! I saved you all!
It's not quite dead.
Ah.
I nearly saved you all.
It's really, really, like, it's like you hit it with your sword, you kind of look at it for a second, thinking it's dead, but then its legs start moving again.
It's just kind of twitching more than anything else, I'm guessing.
It's kind of twitching and gross, but it's still alive enough to then turn around and take a bite at the Dragonborn. So, it opens its mandibles and it rolls. Let me see what it rolls to bite. It rolls a 17 versus AC at Corinne.
No, AC is 10.
It's good for taking notes as well,
its
I find.
Mandibles go through your armor and take.
How many limbs did you rip off?
You didn't rip off any limbs, but you did put a gash in its back end, so now it can't recharge its fire spit anymore. You take 14 damage.
Oh.
That's fine. I'll come rescue everyone soon.
That's what I get for trying to be smart and moving around the front of the beetle.
You forget that it has a face.
I didn't think the front end was dangerous. Yeah, that's fair.
Comparatively, compared to the end that's spewing fire.
Beetle 3 is dead, so it doesn't do anything. Yeah. The scary golden beetle continues to slowly crawl up to you guys. It's becoming somewhat more awake. And
it's very close to me.
But it does not attack yet.
Okay, next turn you might want to retreat a bit, Corinne. It's getting a bit close to you.
Yeah, I'll let you deal with it, shall I, Carol? You can take it.
Me and my full health and my wind attacks.
It is now your turn with your full health and your wind attacks.
My full health and my wind attacks. I can move
kill it.
2, 3, 6. Oh, I can move 6 and be here, so I'm still touching both beetles.
Yep. Beetle 3 is already dead, though.
No. Beetle 2 and the gold beetle.
Ah, those beetles.
So I'm going to do my... Oh, no. Oh, I can only do it once per encounter. I was hoping I could do my elemental escalation again.
The elements have already been escalated.
I have already escalated my elements. Right, so what can I do? Howling Zephyr, that seems like a good thing to do again, so... I am rolling... What am I rolling? I don't remember.
20 plus 3.
Plus 3. That would make sense. Roll.
And you're rolling this on Beetle 2, yes?
Yes, rolling this on Beetle 2.
Okay.
I can't spell roll again. D20 plus 3, 6.
And that's against fortitude. I'm afraid you miss.
Ah,
the beetle.
Farrell.
I have missed. Can I do action point to get another standard action this turn?
You can do an action point and try to attack again.
Okay, I'm going to attempt Howling Zephyr again. So I'm going to roll.
You also should have your Elven Accuracy, which means you can re-roll an attack once per encounter, I believe.
Oh, can I do that instead, then?
Yeah.
So basically, I'm just re-rolling. It's the same outcome as I'm re-rolling D20 plus 3. 17.
This time
That's
you
much
hit.
Better.
That's better. So I do 1d8 plus 6 damage.
That's the one.
D8 plus 6. 7 damage. Which I'm assuming kills Beetle 2.
Yeah, 7 damage gives Beetle 2 its last.
Hooray! Now it's just a big scary gold beetle.
Yep, now it's just you, 3 heaps of fiery beetle guts, and 1 scary golden beetle.
We have a little bit of time left. Do we want to attempt the gold beetle before we finish tonight?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's attack the gold beetle then. Right.
Dying like it's such a huge effort for you.
What, me and my full health?
Yeah, you and your full health.
All right.
I might take a swing at you with my Morningstar in a minute. being too smug.
As much as that would be fun for you, there's a big giant gold beetle that should probably take your attention.
I might just run away and let you deal with it.
Well, fine, I'll handle it.
I don't have much that I can do as a great use other than basically charging in or starting firing, I think.
Stealthed. Which means you, the beetle grants you combat advantage, which I believe means that you get extra damage. Mm. Yes, you get 2d6 extra damage from your sneakiness.
Oh, excellent. This is always a welcome thing.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and loose some bolts, I think. I shall stay put on that as well.
Yep, you're within range. So you can just shoulder your crossbow and let off a bolt.
Okay, so rolling a d20 plus 7. I get 25.
That hits the scary golden beetle.
Okay. Then does a damage. It's gosh.
So it's 1d6 plus 7 plus an extra 2d6 from your sneak attack.
That's an extra d6. Okay. 2d6 plus 7, I get... Ooh, that wasn't as good, but 13.
Alright. So the beetle gets a hefty crossbow bolt to the face. It does not look best pleased with this. Alright, do you want to do anything else? Reroll your stealth.
I get 30.
Yep. You continue to be hidden.
I'm liking this. Okay.
You're basically like crouched behind a mountain of dead beetle right now.
Yep. Just shooting. It works for me. Yeah.
All right. Corinne, then.
All right.
Run away.
I'm going to use Intimidate and see if I can scare the beetle off.
Cool. You can try and roll your Intimidate, and what will happen then is the beetle will grant you combat advantage, which means you get a plus 2 to your attack rolls.
Cool, okay. So, please be good. 24.
Alright, let me see. Yeah, I'm going to say that intimidates the beetle.
Beetle is now intimidated.
So you kind of roar in its face, I guess, and the beetle kind of goes, "Holy shit, I was not expecting this. I am just here for the delicious dead beetle food. Why is this happening?" And you can now try and hit it with a plus 2 to your attack.
28.
Yep, you hit the beetle. How much damage do you do?
That is a d10 plus 5, yes? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not a 1. I'm trying to type with one hand, I'm no good at this. 6.
Oh no.
Once again, your gore-splattered Morningstar hits into the face of a beetle. And yeah.
Now it's a little bit pissed off now.
Yeah, it is a little bit pissed off. It is also bloodied and starting to add its golden goo to the rest of the goo in this room.
Now would probably be a good time to run away.
Oh, do I still have my movement point?
Yes, you have.
You haven't moved yet.
Excellent. Right, so I can move.
You will want to shift away though, because you're right next to the beetle. So if you do a normal move, it can kind of attack you as you're walking away. So you want to shift, which is like moving really carefully, without hurting it, or without taking your eye off the beetle, so you'll only be able to shift back one.
Okay. There we go.
Away from the mandibles.
I'm in the middle of the corpse of Beetle 3.
Yeah, so you kind of take a careful step back, crunching through the exoskeleton of the remains of Beetle 3 as you go. Alright, Kaylina, you're still on a table.
Yeah, I'm just chilling.
Would you like to jump off the table, or are you just going to hang out up there for a bit?
You're not the boss of me.
I never said you had to. I was asking a genuine, sincere question. Do you fancy staying on the table or jumping off?
You can also teleport off.
I'll teleport. Can I teleport and jump on the beetle, please?
Well, you can teleport 5 squares, so 1, 2, 3. Yeah, you can teleport and kind of appear on top of the beetle.
I want to ride it. Yes.
The beetle might not be best pleased with this.
Well,
so, I'm going to have to have you do an acrobatics check.
Okay, I have like minus one.
See if you manage to stay on the beetle or be thrown off.
I got one.
Alright. So, what happens is you blink out of existence.
Ooh.
For a brief split second, kind of enter the Fey realm, where everything is like super pleasant and nice and ephemeral.
Can I stay there?
A split second later, you appear again on top of an angry golden beetle,
and
immediately slip off its exoskeleton, and land next to it in the straw.
Okay, do I have more stuff to do?
You may now pick yourself up and attempt to attack the beetle.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, that wasn't plan A, but, you know. Okay, where's my character thing? Okay, so now I'm going to do some stuff. I'm going to do a thing. What thing shall I do? All my abilities.
Stab it in the belly.
Can I do a focusing strike? Or, hang on. Wait just a second. Can I do a psionic shield?
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. So, you try and hit, or you hit the creature, and also an ally within 5 squares of you gets a +1 bonus to all defenses until the end of your next turn.
Okay, so
that would be Farrell then.
Yeah. Or Corin.
Yeah, do Corin. Right, well, thank you, that would be really helpful.
First, see if you actually hit. So it's a d20 +9.
10.
Unfortunately, that does not hit.
Oh, for goodness sake, Kalana, Kalina, you're so useless.
Okay, now would maybe be a good time to use your Luckblade Greatsword lucky power.
Which you Can I not save people?
You can re-roll your attack.
Yeah, let's do that.
Kind of the luck imbued in your greatsword.
I'm sure that'll work. Right, what do I put in?
So, same thing again, d20 +9.
I'm sure this'll work. 25!
Yep, so you kind of recover using the kind of luck stored up in your luck blade sword and stab it right into a chink between the armor plates of the beetle.
Die!
And you do 1d10 +6 damage, so roll that.
While I stab him, can I please yell, "I am no man!" like in Lord of the Rings?
You can do that, and while you're doing that, as you're doing that, you hit a vital beetle organ, and the beetle just collapses dead.
Oh! Hooray! Save the day.
Thank you, Kalina.
After jumping around on tables for a while, you did something helpful. Hooray!
Couldn't have done it without me. The whole thing was helpful. It was a distraction. I was luring the beetles into a false sense of security.
I don't think Kalina was drunk.
Yeah, but like, you did so much more, Farrell.
I'll have you know that I managed to not sustain any damage while causing damage to the beetles. I was the most economic person here.
I was dead.
I didn't rush in recklessly, no. I attacked with the wind, because I am balanced.
Because you happen to have eaten a lot of beans last night.
Anyway, we should probably be leaving.
Should I teleport out of here?
Or maybe we want to go up those stairs, but
I would like to go down the stairs.
Or down the stairs. We've been going for a while, so this is probably where we have to leave it for tonight, I think.
Alright, you can find out what's down the stairs next time.
Da, da, da. I want to know what's down the stairs. Do, do, do. This is the theme music for wondering what's down the stairs. Do 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 do. Thank you for listening.
Has it perchance been a long day?
It has been a long day. I wonder how you noticed. Anyway, thank you very much, Helen, for coming and being our DM this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I hope you had fun.
We have had fun, and we will put this out and see what people think and if they want to hear our continued adventures through this world. Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Gemma. Thank you, Tilly, for joining me this evening. And we'll talk to you all soon. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.